sharing stories that matter. Here's your Texas Anchorman, Robert Pratt, with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome to part two of our podcast extra with our great friend Robert Zimmerman, keeper of BehindTheBlack.com, noted historian, science writer, and space historian. We're talking about blacklisting Americans, cancel culture, and this is our mid-May 2022 update. This is part two of that blacklisted Americans update. Let's go to another story, and it's a story that I've addressed briefly in the show because I tend to focus on news in Texas, but that's it's the doxing of Supreme Court justices and threatening and putting people at, you know, there's a federal law that makes these type of protests illegal. I don't know whether it would stand muster with the court, but there's a law that says you can't do this to try to get judges to change an opinion. Some people show up at the Capitol, of course. I don't want to replay all of that, but one day they walk in, most of the doors are open. Most everybody who was in there simply walked through open gates and open doors. They're being hunted down and prosecuted. But you have threats against members of the Supreme Court. You have people outside their homes, all kinds of other stuff that is clearly, as some have said, an institutional insurrection against the court. You have all this going on, and those same people that say conservatives have to be prosecuted because anytime they really disagree and stand up for that, that's insurrection against the country. But these people, we're going to do nothing about these people, even when in this case, it's not some minor thing about being in an unauthorized place, you know, a de minimis charge, which is what most people in the Capitol deal have been charged with. This is a serious federal law. They're all in direct conflict with, and from the DOJ down, all of them. There's no interest in doing anything. So we see the hypocrisy, and I've commented on that. I would like your comment. You put that up as a blacklisted Americans, House conservative Supreme Court justices doxed and threatened by pro-abortion protesters, and it's just gotten worse since you posted that on the 6th of May. Talk about that issue as a whole in the context of all the hypocrisy we find ourselves in.
This is an example of trying to intimidate through violence. That's really what it is. Let's make a comparison. Parents come to a school board during a comment session. They have the right to speak and protest verbally the policies of the school board. And that's legally correct. That's where you make your comments, at a school board meeting during the open comment period. That's what parents are doing. And what the Biden administration is doing is calling them terrorists for doing so, threatening, putting the FBI on them for doing so. But they are appearing at the proper place to make these comments. In the case of the Supreme Court Roe versus Wade potential decision overturning Roe versus Wade, what's happening instead is that leftist protesters are going to the homes of these particular Supreme Court justices and threatening them, literally threatening them with death threats and violence outside their homes. And it is a federal law that states you can protest this stuff, but you don't do it at their homes. You have to do it, like, at the steps of the Supreme Court in a public venue. At their homes, it's an act of intimidation without any question. And so this is an example of that hypocrisy, the difference between the two. And we must be aware of it, because I'm totally in favor of these people protesting a Supreme Court decision, but you don't do it in a way that very clearly is trying to intimidate people.
And that's partly because our courts were set up with these lifetime appointments to try to insulate the court system from, I mean, you're never going to take it totally away. And by the way, I don't really like that law. I think that law is crap. I'm a little more radical, like the Boston Tea Party people. I think it's good to shake the chains. I just think that, but clearly, under our law and the way our system is set up, the court justices or any of these federal judges, wherever they are, you're not supposed to use this type of thing. You have free speech all day about the issue, but you're not supposed to be able to try to personally intimidate those people. And I don't like all that totally, just my philosophy, but I understand why it exists, and it's a system that I honor and respect. And it's quite amazing that you have these very specific laws, and this is going on. And of course, there's no mention of except in some alternative conservative media, there's nothing out there. Whereas just like you saw the CNN reporter saying it's a calm protest while they're lighting fires and busting up windows and burning businesses down in the camera frame behind the reporter. It's just so shocking. And I think a lot of people don't, I don't know, I think so many people have just given up watching the mainstream typical media that they expect this kind of hypocrisy, but they don't quite realize to what level it's risen. Because in this case, you're talking about the head of the Department of Justice, the Attorney General, and other people being questioned on this by reporters regularly at press conferences and things of late in the last week or two. And it's just willful silence. I mean, they don't care. They know what they're doing. And that becomes a sign of authoritarian abuse of government, where they know what they're doing is wrong, or what they're not doing, their sins of omission, is wrong. And they don't care because it advances their political agenda. That is frightening.
The most frightening part of this, Robert, is the double standard of law enforcement. The only laws that now apply are applied only to the right and to conservatives. The left knows, they know that they can violate the law, dox people, send death threats, even commit violence against Supreme Court justices. And they know the governments in the local urban areas, as well as the Biden administration, will not prosecute them. They can be get away with it all. And you cannot count the number of times in the last 2 years that violent protests that ended up in deaths and the destruction of homes and businesses, the individuals were caught, were brought before prosecutors, and released with no punishment. Right. Because the urban prosecutors are Democrats, and they want to use the law for their purposes and their purposes only. And once again, the perfect example I gave is school boards are being, parents are being attacked by the FBI and the Department of Justice for simply expressing a difference of opinion, but you have protesters committing violence and death threats against Supreme Court justices who are conservative, and that's okay. The great line that sums this all up is, to the left, their violence is speech.
Right.
But the right's speech is violence.
Yeah, that's a
and
very
so therefore point. Our speech is violence and must be squelched, but their violence is free speech and is protected by the First Amendment. That's their logic, and it's more than infuriating. It's, as you said, frightening.
Pratt's interview continues after you hear from our generous sponsors.
A Texas Aggie from the big country said he visited Dr. Sylvia Zuniga at Dental Care in Costa Rica, spent about $7,000 on the entire trip with his wife, and yet saved over $5,000. He asked, how could it be any better? Our Aggie friend and listener wrote, thank you for recommending Sylvia. Her work and service was what you said it would be. Very good. It took me several months of listening to you and researching on the internet to finally decide to do it. So glad I did. Learn more about Dr. Sylvia Zuniga and Dental Care by clicking the banner at PrattonTexas.com.
What happens if another party responsible for your injury doesn't step up to make your loss whole? How do you go about getting what you're owed for your loss? Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group can help get those responsible to actually accept and act on that responsibility. Ted Liggett does it every day with integrity, advocacy, and results. Call Ted Liggett, the heavy hitter, at 806-744-HURT or visit LiggettLawGroup.com. Don't be cheated. Call Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group.
Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. Mike and Jason find and rehab good condition, good reputation work trucks that can help you and your business. Half ton all the way up to 2 ton work trucks. Mike and Jason are hands-on, finding trucks and working on them in the shop. Call them at 806-687-1115 or go to specialtytrucksoflubbock.com to get Mike or Jason's cell number. Solve problems and save money with Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. SpecialtyTrucksOfLubbock.com.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
I think one of the challenges that all small business owners are facing today is, while they may be less than 50 employees, they're still competing with the big box companies that have full-blown benefit plans. Employers are looking for solutions, and my out-of-the-box thinking is providing a solution.
With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. HurleyBenefits.com.
Communication's a top priority with commercial builder Tommy Klein Construction. A 20-year-plus Tommy Klein Construction customer said, when we call, text, or email, the majority of the time we get a response back within the hour. Many times they call us before we have a question with updates on our projects. And with Tommy Klein Construction, if there's a need for an adjustment or warranty, they give it top priority as if it were their own building. Tommy Klein Construction, general commercial building contractors. Reach them, 806-438-3384. 806-438-3384.
If you're sick to death of the mainstream news, we invite you to check out 21st Century Watch magazine. We cover developments we have no choice but to watch from a biblical perspective. Not only is it priceless, it's free. Call 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. That's 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. A little hope would be nice.
Constitutional carry is great, but it doesn't keep you out of jail if you cross state lines and does not provide you the background on law to make right, fast decisions under threat. You need official handgun license to carry training from West Texas Justice. Instructor David Mead offers full-service training, even for beginners. David is a retired Deputy U.S. Marshal and certified Texas License to Carry instructor. License to carry training with West Texas Justice is only $65. Be wise, be trained, be legal. Inquire today at westtexasjustice.com. That's westtexasjustice.com.
Now, back to the interview and your host, Mr. Texas, Robert Pratt.
Let's take a tour to Idaho, because Idaho is a state where a lot of people have fled to go for liberty and freedom. But Idaho, like all states, has its different areas that vote differently. This is more of a pushback column you had in the Today's Blacklisted American. Three Idaho University students sue school for punishing them for having opinions. And this is really interesting because they are members of the Christian Legal Society, an official chapter of an organization, the Christian Legal Society, chapter at the University of Idaho. They talk about this story, because this is the kind of thing we're seeing and not even hearing about, I think, daily out there. If you don't agree with the homosexual political agenda or something like that, there's just people losing their jobs, not being hired, not being promoted. In their case, they're punished.
Yeah, this is a Christian club at the University of Idaho. They had difficulty even getting officially approved by the school because the student government did not want it, because they didn't agree with their positions. And because it's a Christian club, it does not allow gays or leftists.
Some Christians
or
would.
Atheists
they
to
just,
run it.
Right,
They have to agree with the laws as expressed in the Bible to be head of this Christian club. Well, it makes perfect sense to me. I'm Jewish. I couldn't run this club. It's not right for me to even try. But this was not right according to the students. Well, they managed to get their organization going, but then one student complained about their position on abortion. And they were having a educational session on the campus where they were giving out materials. And this student complained and eventually complained to the school. And so the school issued a no contact order to these Christian students, saying they could have nothing to do with certain students at the school.
So the lefty students can have contact with everybody and express their points of view, but the people with the conservative point of view are not allowed to do the same? Is that what we're really getting to?
That's exactly it. So these students could no longer express their opinions if those other students were present, which they were all the time. They attended the same classes. And it basically put these students in a position where they could not really go to school or express their opinions. So they have now sued. They've gone and said, our First Amendment rights are being violated and we have the right to do this. And what I find most disturbing about this, though, is the closed-mindedness of the students who attacked these three Christians. It isn't that they disagree with the Christian beliefs. It's they can't even tolerate their existence or presence. And so rather than civilly and openly discussing the differences in a forum, which is what the First Amendment is all about. Their goal has been to try to silence and block these students in every way possible. And the worst of it is that they've had these blacklisters have had the full support of the college's administration to do so. And so, once again, this is a land-grant university in Idaho, so there are certain governmental aspects of it that are controlled. And much like Florida did with Disney, I think the Idaho legislature should consider maybe changing its law that allows this university to obtain its funds from the land it controls. That could be taken away from them, and I think it should be considered.
Well, it's just one of many. I mean, we see this kind of thing so constantly that it almost, beginning we thought, well, it's all on these universities, and of course now we've seen it's everywhere in society. But it's as if the things that they used to know that this would not be popular with people, and they generally tried to hide it, much as far left Democrat candidates tried to hide their pro-Marxism, not just pro-socialism, but all-out Marxism. They at least tried to hide it. Now it's this sense of empowerment to go after everybody and find them. And there's even evidence out there that this is creating a public backlash. We see it in the corporate sphere. I don't think that will change the radicals, because I think they may eventually have positions of power removed, which is good, but I think they're just so rabid into this, like any zealot in any movement, right or left, that they're just going to keep on going. And again, I think that's the old idea about Buckley and everybody else was so right. The problem was the solution to speech you don't like is more speech. And sometimes, as we alluded to earlier, putting these crazies on the stage. So, I mean, it's terrible people get hurt, Robert, in the process, but good grief.
Robert, one of the things that we have to recognize in this situation is that we now have in America a large number of people. I can't tell you the percentage, but there's a large number of people, and unfortunately a good portion of them are in control of the culture and the government and the institutions of our nation, but you have a large number of people that are fascist in their belief, that do not tolerate other opinions, that wish to silence it, wish to oppress. Let me finish the point, though, which is that even if we win every single lawsuit, these people are not gone. They're still there. And they're still in power. Until the American public, the freedom lovers of America, and I'm talking about even ordinary people who don't think about this much, but really do want freedom, their own freedom as others, until we as Americans all decide to remove these people from their positions of power and have no negotiation about this anymore, no compromise, nothing's going to change. We're still going to have an oppressive group of people that are oppressing people. Because they won't take no for an answer. Just because they lose one court case doesn't mean they're not going to try
it
again.
That's what I said. They're zealots. But, I wanted to pick up on using the term fascist, because one of the things I've noticed over my lifetime in big changes is that it's not just that they're intolerant of other attitudes and they want to punish people who aren't like them. In other words, they adopt a lot of fascistic demeanors and ideas. They're also fascist in the sense of they seem to like, for the most part, there are always exceptions, they seem to like the idea of extreme centralized power in the government. In other words, I mean, they really do adopt that political model of the fascists and think about it, folks. You think, it's a hard term, but that's, when Obama figured out you don't need to nationalize the industries, you just need to control them with government regulation. That's really what the economic model of fascism is all about. You leave you leave all of the businesses in the hands of the private guys and you let them get rich as long as they toe the line and don't cross whatever the emperor of the day is, whether it's Mussolini or whomever else. That's their model. And it's funny how many people seem to like this model. And maybe it's because they see it as a way to carry out, it's the only way they're going to carry out their agenda of totalitarianism of thought. But I think there's more to it. I think it's a great laziness. I've long thought that liberty is hard. It requires effort by the individual. Our founders understood what that in a republic, we don't have a sovereign. We have a president who's head of state. Every individual voting citizen is sovereign. And that's a radical concept from the way the world had been organized to that time. But it means you have to have people who take that citizenship seriously. And now we have maybe half the country or a little less that believes that even the term citizenship should be meaningless and have no meaning. And I think a lot of it isn't ideological commitment. It's just pure laziness. I mean, it's just simply easier to let, you know, the mayor tell you which subway line you can ride on or whether you can have a car or not. There are people that just seem very happy. We see it in Europe for decades, just really happy to give up the having to make decisions on their own to some government or other type authoritarian agency. And I don't get that as an American.
Well, Robert, an American understands that freedom is hard. You know, the final line in the Spangled Banner, land, home of the free, land of the brave. You cannot be free if you're not courageous. But courage requires doing difficult things against the odds, at least facing the possibility of failure or death or even minor failure. You have to face that. That's a hard thing to do, to be free. And so Americans have always understood that. We are not talking about traditional Americans right anymore. There are a lot of people in the country nowadays who not only do not understand or know the history of their country, they are now hostile to it. And when you say this is about a love of totalitarian centralized power, I'd simplify it. It's a love of power. Because if you wish to be lazy and you don't want to really work hard to do things, real things, to accomplish real things, which is hard to do. You can't do it easily. If you don't want to work hard to do that, well, then it's much easier to gather power around you to make other people smaller so that you are in control.
Story of humanity.
That's what we have going on right
now. The story of humanity. We'll leave it right there. Bob Zimmerman, the website is behindtheblack.com. I recommend you not only check it regularly, I recommend you order all his books. They're all fabulous. And on these stories, the subjects of the day, his book, A Conscious Choice, about slavery in America and how it really became established and isn't what the left is telling you it is, and the history is quite different. You need to read that book. It's fantastic. BehindTheBlack.com. Bob, as always, thank you so much for your generosity with your time.
It's always my pleasure, Robert. I should point out that shortly, within a month or so, a print edition of Conscious Choice will be coming out.
Fantastic. All right, my friends.
Hear all the great Texas music Pratt on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock. Tune to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tune to 96.1 FM Q Country.